No wonder this business is nearly bankrupt. No wonder the WNBA has failed to generate a single peso in profit in the last three decades. It appears that dump divers in the WNBA, they are borrowing a business strategy from their lead subsidizers in the NBA. Insult your fan base, then play the role of the ultimate victim when they don't watch your substandard product. 4 years ago, Adam Silver and the self-proclaimed King LeBron James, they came up with a brilliant strategy to boost NBA ratings. Ratings in the NBA started their initial decline in 2019. From around 2011 to 2018, the NBA, they experienced a resurgence. The league was seeing ratings that they hadn't seen since the Jordan era in the 1990s. Now, obviously, the self-proclaimed King and his main rival, Steph Curry, they failed to match the ratings of the great one. But for this current generation of players, the NBA peaked in popularity in that 7 or 8 year stretch. 2019, ratings started to decline. During the summer of 2020, Alice Silver and his King, they decided to implement a brilliant strategy to entice casual fans to return to the league. This strategy, it was original, it was creative, it was revolutionary. Step one, insult anyone who supports Donald Trump. Orange man bad. Step two, demonize law enforcement while claiming that you're the ultimate victim of police brutality. LeBron James, he's never been given a parking ticket. The only interaction LeBron James has with cops is when they approach him asking for his autograph. Yet, for some reason, LeBron expected people to believe that he feared for his life. I'm so afraid of white cops. The other day, a white cop approached me. He had a pen in his hand. I thought he was going to hurt me, but he ended up writing down directions for Club Shay Shay. It was tuck-friendly bathing suit night, and I wanted to see my favorite dancers modeling those beauties. Step three, file false charges against half of your audience, accusing them of the crime of mythical racism. Longtime viewers of this channel, you guys know exactly how this strategy of brilliance worked out for the NBA. Ratings for the 2020 NBA playoffs and NBA finals, lowest in the history of the league, and the NBA has never recovered. It seems like a certain player in the WNBA, the lovely woman who holds the title of Supreme Dump Diver for being the longest tenured trash engineer in the league, seems like she is borrowing the NBA strategy to destroy television ratings. But there's a huge difference between the NBA and the WNBA. You see, the NBA, they could absorb the hit. The NBA, they had millions of viewers they could afford to lose. Even though ratings for the NBA finals have declined 50% since their peak in the mid-2010s, the NBA, they are still expected to receive about $50 billion for the next broadcast rights deal from the television networks and streaming services. Now, that is $25 billion less than what Adam Silver wanted, but it's still double the amount of their current deal right now. The WNBA, they don't have that same luxury. Right now, there's salaries in the NBA that are higher than the networks pay the WNBA for exclusive access to the dump. The point is, the WNBA cannot afford to lose viewers. Hell, if ratings decline in this league even further, they'll go from being counted by the dozens to being counted by single digits. Last month, WNBA veteran Diana Taurasi, she made some interesting comments about Caitlin Clark. Now, the media, they describe Donna as a WNBA legend. Now, me personally, I refuse to use that term. I can't describe someone as legendary when no one has watched their career. Kind of like that old saying, if a tree falls in the forest and no one is around, does it make a sound? If a WNBA player is a legend on the court, but there are more rats in the gym than people with the ability to breathe, is she really a legend? I mean, I don't ever hear about legendary bowlers. Why? No one is watching bowling. Last month, during the women's tournament that the media mistakenly classified as March Madness, Donna Taurasi, she made some interesting comments about Caitlin Clark. Donna was hosting a simulcast on ESPN2 along with the Sue Bird. Curly Sue took a break from pressuring the NCAA to allow bearded behemoths to play women's basketball to call the Final Four with her pretend friend Donna. During the broadcast, Curly Sue and Donna Diversity, they were asked who they would take number one overall in the WNBA draft. Who would they build their team around? Donna, she claimed that she would take Paige Buchers or Paige Buckner. Whatever the fuck. The young lady from UConn, Donna claimed that she would take her over Katie Rue Clark. She doubled down on these comments when, for the first time in her career, she was actually invited to appear on SportsCenter. Watch for yourself.
You have to build a WNBA team. Who are you taking first?
I'm taking Paige. Next question.
So if you had the number one pick this year, you would take Paige over Caitlin?
Absolutely.
Caitlin's coming. There's more than just that are coming. What will the league have in store for them when they get there?
Reality is coming.
Okay.
You know, there's levels to this thing. And that's just life. We all went through it.
Of course.
And you see it on the NBA side. And you're going to see it on this side where, you know, you look superhuman playing against 18-year-olds, but you're going to come with some grown women that have been playing professional basketball for a long time. Not saying that it's not going to translate, because when you're great at what you do, you're just going to get better. But there is going to be a transition period.
The mainstream media, they claim that WNBA fans were upset by these comments from Diana Taurasi. This was another example of the mainstream media giving us a partial truth. Yes, there were fans upset with Donna Taurasi, but they weren't WNBA fans. As you guys know, there is no such thing as WNBA fans. They don't exist. It's a fairy tale, kind of like Bigfoot or the Loch Ness Monster. It's fun to pretend they exist, but once you wake up from that dream, you come back to reality. Non-existent WNBA fans, they were not upset with Diana Taurasi. Fans of Caitlin Clark were upset with her. To be perfectly honest with you, and I think I said this when we talked about this a few weeks ago, the outrage had little to do with Diana Taurasi and more to do with the overall perception. During the women's tournament, there were a handful of WNBA players making, I guess you could call them, questionable comments about Caitlin Clark, the Sue Bird, Breonna Stewart, lead chef in the WNBA cafeteria known for her brie stew, Cheryl Swoops, the original pooper swooper, employee number one in the WNBA dump, Gilbert Arenas, who would have been a first ballot Hall of Famer if he played in the WNBA. Unfortunately for Gilbert, he played in the NBA where he was basically a forgotten role player. But the overall perception was that Caitlin Clark wouldn't be exactly welcomed in the WNBA. Even though Diana Taurasi wasn't necessarily wrong in what she was saying, her comments added fuel to the ass fire. And I don't think it was what she said. I think it was more how she said it. The condescending tone in which she delivered her comments. For the most part, I believe that's what pissed people off. Yesterday, Donna, she was once again speaking to the media. I guess training camp has started in the WNBA. After months of being shut down for maintenance in the offseason, this is the time of year where WNBA players enter camp and train themselves for another brutal summer of lifting heavy garbage bags. Diana Taurasi, she plays for the Phoenix Masculines. The Masculines, they are most known for being the home team of Bob Griner. Before Caitlin Clark joined the league, Bob Griner had the distinction of being the only household name in the history of the WNBA. Donna, though, she's speaking to the one, maybe two members of the media who wasted their time to show up for training camp in Phoenix. One of the reporters, he asked Donna to elaborate on her comments about Caitlin Clark. Listen to her response.
And you said that Caitlin is going to go through a learning curve.
Mm-hmm.
Some people were critical of you for saying that, but I don't know that necessarily meant that you're not welcoming to her, right? I mean, how do you... I mean, it seems like you were just saying the reality is she's going to have a learning curve.
You know, it's the new fans are really sensitive these days. You can't say anything. It's kind of like when you go from kindergarten or first grade, there's a learning adjustment. When you go from high school to college, there's a learning adjustment. You know, I don't think I said anything that wasn't factually correct. And
believe it or not, I actually agree with Diana Taurasi. I even agree with her to the point that I will call her Diana instead of Donna. I do have a level of respect for Diana Taurasi. She's going on 42 years old and she is still playing basketball. I know we joke about the WNBA all the time. I know I call it pretend basketball or semi-professional basketball, but it does take a lot of dedication to keep your body healthy and in shape enough to play basketball at 42. 22 years old. And I can respect that. I really can. And like I said, I actually agree with what Diana Taurasi said about people being too sensitive or overly sensitive. People are far too sensitive nowadays. These kids today who are constantly in their feelings, I don't think they would have survived in the late 90s. Diana Taurasi's not wrong about the adjustment period for Caitlin Clark going from professional basketball at Iowa to the WNBA. Earlier today, Caitlin Clark admitted that the game has been faster during practice with the Indiana Felines. Now, even though Diana Taurasi was technically right, it probably wasn't the best thing for her to say. You have played in a league for the last 20 or so years with a non-existent fan base. For nearly 30 years, people have not needed a reason to not watch the WNBA. Before Caitlin Clark was drafted, most people had forgotten that the WNBA was still in existence. You don't want to give these new fans, as Diana Taurasi calls them, you don't want to give them a reason not to watch. I mean, you said it yourself. People are overly sensitive. New WNBA fans are overly sensitive. And what do sensitive people do? They get in their feelings when people point out their sensitivity. You know, it doesn't matter either way because these so-called new fans, they're not going to be watching Diana Taurasi. Hell, she has been in the league for over 20 years and she can still walk through the airport without being bothered. These new fans, they're not going to be watching the Phoenix Masculines. They're not going to be checking the schedule to see when Bob Griner's playing. The only player people will be interested in watching is Caitlin Clark. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. This is going to be a very interesting season in the WNBA. Now, obviously, it will have absolutely nothing to do with basketball. No disrespect to these ladies, but the WNBA product isn't exactly what I would call entertaining or interesting. What's going to be interesting about this WNBA season is the ratings drawn by Caitlin Clark compared to the ratings drawn by the rest of the league, and how the mainstream media responds to it. We could see Caitlin Clark drawing 1, maybe 2 million viewers during the regular season, while other nationally televised games in the WNBA, they're not drawing flies to a fresh turd. It's going to be interesting to see how the mainstream media chooses to cover it. Also going to be interesting to see how other WNBA players respond, especially the veteran players, women who have been playing for years and largely gone unnoticed. How are they going to feel seeing this rookie carrying the attention of the mainstream? Will there be feelings of jealousy, resentment? You tell me. Also, give me your thoughts on Diana Taurasi. She claims that new fans of the WNBA are overly sensitive in response to the outrage of her criticism of Caitlin Clark. Is she right? Are people overly sensitive? I think so, but again, I think a lot of people were more aggravated with the overall criticism of Caitlin Clark, the constant criticism from a lot of these WNBA players before she even got into the league. I think it had more to do with that than these single remarks from Diana Taurasi, but either way, sound off in the comments below. Like, subscribe, share the video, appreciate your support. Best way to contact me is by email at btlkc84@gmail.com, kc_btl84 on Twitter, and I'll see you guys tomorrow.